bill on the agenda, Senator Umberg's bill, SB 444. We do not have a quorum, so we will start as a subcommittee. Senator Umberg, take it away.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Senator Durazo. Before you today is SB 444, concerning artificial intelligence in the superior courts. As you know, California, in many ways, is in the forefront of artificial intelligence. And one area that we wish to explore is efficiencies in the justice system by using the resources, in this case, at the University of California, Irvine, and University of California, Berkeley, to collaborate with the courts to create a more efficient system and a more just system, in particular with respect to, for example, pro se litigants, folks who don't have counsel, but are engaged in the justice system, as well as Judge Nakamura, with me here today is the presiding judge of the Orange County Superior Court, Judge Nakamura. We were talking this morning about some other areas where we might create some great efficiencies. So, for example, with respect to expungement of records, whether we can use artificial intelligence to automatically expunge some records that are deserving of expungement without having to go through the laborious process of actually having a hearing and going through that exercise. And the same thing with restraining orders, that it is possible perhaps to expedite and to create efficiencies with respect to restraining orders using artificial intelligence. But the purpose of this bill is to create this collaborative mechanism between the courts and two schools to do that. Judge Nakamura has been in the forefront in terms of judges interested in leading this effort, and he's with me here today to testify on behalf of SB 444. Judge?
Thank you, Senator. Two witnesses, 2 minutes each, so you're the only witness. You may have all 4 minutes.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for having me, Senators and staff. Happy New Year. It's a pleasure to be here to talk about Senate Bill 444. I'm the presiding judge, as indicated by Senator Umberg, of the Orange County Superior Court. We are the third largest court in California, and I believe we are probably at the most forefront of the AI technology in the state. We have over 100 personnel in our tech section, which far exceeds just about any other court, and perhaps except for Los Angeles. And we've just were provided over $1 million in grant money to provide for certain technology projects, including our court user portal, which basically allows pro se litigants to see what's going on at the court in their calendars and their case, as well as other items in terms of jury service. We have a new program where people can look at their app and see if they're being summoned to a jury and things of that nature. These are reasons why our court is at the forefront of technology. We have explored artificial intelligence. We are looking at partnerships with Google and some other Microsoft, very large companies that are, in fact, at the forefront of artificial intelligence. We have talked with Dean Song Richardson at UCI Law School, who wishes to have UC Irvine at the forefront of artificial intelligence in terms of law school education. So we've already talked with Joe Dunn, who's also on the board of visitors for UCI Law School. And we have already had one course in conjunction with UCI Law School and their students in which we were developing a program which will assist pro se litigants in making, as Senator Umberg indicated, protective order applications. We think we can go much further with respect to expungement orders. We could expedite those with artificial intelligence. With respect to 1437, meaning the abrogation of the felony murder rule, we believe that we can implement artificial intelligence in terms of processing those applications much quicker than it would take both law clerks as well as judges to process over time. And in view of the fact that the Fourth District has recently held that 1437 is not unconstitutional based on certain propositions that were arguably inconsistent with it, it appears that it's going to be a huge task for the court to proceed in that fashion. Let me say that access to the court is probably one of the highest priorities of our court individually in terms of Orange County Superior Court. We had a conference of all bench conference in March. We identify that as our major goal. The Chief Justice, Cantile Sakiyue, has indicated that's one of her highest priorities, as well as judicial counsel. So with respect to using artificial intelligence, which is a very powerful tool, and bringing the courts into the forefront of this technology, it would be of great benefit. And we would share that benefit with the other courts, which we have also done previously when we've developed certain projects that would be beneficial to the court system.
Excellent. Sounds great. Thank you, Judge.
Sure.
Anyone else in support? Yes.
No,
okay. Is there anyone in opposition? All right. Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the committee. Any questions, comments, concerns? Yes, Senator DeRazzo.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator, and Judge also for, if you could get in a little bit more, since I'm not the kind of person who understands everything about artificial intelligence, but if you could explain a little bit better how this would help people. I know you gave examples of expungement of records and restraining orders, maybe jury service, but if you're a regular person on the street, how do you do this? And what kind of training would it take to do this? If we're going to be using artificial intelligence, does that require another level of understanding? Does it require another level of training to be able to use it? Who are the folks who would be able to benefit the most? And, you know, maybe you have real studies on this. Maybe you have just practical experience, but get into that a little bit more for me, please.
So, I'll take a crack, and then Judge Nakamura can correct me. I think, for example, with respect to pro se litigants who are facing a situation of domestic violence, so mm-hmm. oftentimes they're not represented by counsel, and they have to fill out a form and demonstrate that they've hit the requisite sort of requisite level of evidence, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so it helps both the applicant, says to the applicant, you did not, you know, tell us, for example, when and where an event involving domestic violence occurred. So we need to know when and where and who. If your form doesn't have that, it spits it back out at you. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, the bench officer then would see the application, and it can alert the bench officer, oh, we're missing this, or we have this, or this is, you can't consider this. You know, this is something that's beyond what you might be able to consider. You know, say, mm-hmm. for example, it lists someone, says they've done something, and there's something about race or something in there. You can't consider that. So that's my view. Judge, you go
ahead and correct me. We would hopefully have this AI program so that when it reaches the judge, there's no obvious defects in that application. Let's say that somebody comes into a self-help center and there's some type of avatar. Many times their self-help centers are overwhelmed with people coming in representing themselves, and they need immediate help. They could sit down at a computer. You might have an avatar, somebody basically who looks like a person but actually is an AI person, leading them through the application process. So when they put in the first or second line of that application, they say, well, you missed this with respect to the person who's basically doing this to you. Do you understand that the burden of proof is X? Are you still want to go forward with this? So they understand that what they have to show in the application is X, Y, and Z. A lot of times the self-help center person doesn't have the time to explain it to them and doesn't basically go through every element of what they need to have in their application. And it goes line by line in terms of their application. And by the time that's completed, not only does the applicant feel pretty confident that that application is going to be sufficient for a judge to grant a protective order with respect to domestic violence, but also the judge will feel the same way, and the applicant feels that they have met the burden of proof to get a protective order, which prevents them from being a victim of domestic violence.
Mm-hmm. What sometimes, this is not an area of law which I practice, but I have observed, is that an applicant will have an insufficient application, the bench officer will look at it and say, I'm sorry, this application is insufficient, you're going to have to come back. Well, that doesn't work well for the courts or for the applicant. With respect to expungement, there are certain records that are entitled to expungement, but if the person who doesn't know that they're entitled to expungement, theoretically, AI will identify, you know, these are the individuals that now can have their records expunged for certain offenses. So.
Mm-hmm. And that help?
Yeah, is this the very first time that it's going to be done anywhere in a court, or is there some version that's already been tried? Where do we stand as far as?
I'm not aware of any AI program with respect to protective orders. I know that we've already started working on this with the UC Irvine law students and basically generating this type of program. With respect to the expungement orders, again, we are at the forefront of this. These are programs that have not been already generated. These are very sophisticated with respect to what we would have to look at to make sure that this person's entitled to an expungement at the soonest possible time. Mm-hmm. So this is why we need the funding. The courts are operating at a situation where we don't have excessive tech staff to take on certain projects such as this. We certainly have the expertise to do it. It's just having the funding and the person power to actually implement it.
Thank you. I'm going to interrupt for just a second. We have a quorum. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Leyva.
Here.
Leyva here. Wilk. Chang. Durazo.
Here.
Durazo here. Glazer.
Here.
Glazer here. McGuire. Pan.
Here.
Pan here.
Thank you. Any further questions, Secretary Durazo?
No, just a comment that, just the concept of it, obviously, sounds really great. A lot of more questions, and we'll just keep talking about it some more because it's just a lot of questions, but positive questions.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Pan.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Senator Berger, I appreciate you bringing this bill in front of us. I also have several questions, Senator Durazo. I guess the first question that's probably most pertinent to Ed Committee is that it's usually fairly unusual for us to, I understand it's for $2 million, right, to allocate money directly to a subpart of UC and not UC as a whole. So obviously these are law schools, so they have legal expertise. Is that where the money is going to, specifically law school? And why these law schools? Is there some sort of capacity that they have beyond their legal expertise in terms of in technical capacity that those particular law schools versus having, you know, basically charging UC to do this? Are we planning to, are these law schools going to contract this out to a tech company? I mean, so how is this supposed to envision to work?
So thank you, Senator Pan, for those questions. Question number one, the money question, you're right. We can't, this will be amended. We appropriate money to the University of California, and as you know, they are a separate sovereign nation. that they decide how money is to be spent. So this, we're not going to be able to direct this. We are hopeful in working with the University of California that this happens. This is a collaborative initiative that I think has a great deal of merit. And I'm hopeful, and I have reason to believe they'll see the merit in this proposal. That's number one. Number two, in terms of the two law schools, the University of California, Irvine, as Judge Nakamura indicated earlier, has been involved in this area for some time, and they're seeking, the dean in particular, Dean Song, is seeking to be in the forefront among all law schools in the country in the area of AI and the justice system. And so it was really at their initiative that this began. University of California, Berkeley, Dean Chemerinsky, never to lag behind any other school, has chimed in and said he wants to participate as well. The rationale is that there's five University of California law schools. If we're spread too thin, then we won't really be able to focus efforts, and so that's the rationale.
But is there some sort of technical expertise that they? Yeah. I mean, again, I don't say it's spread it evenly.
Well, I'm going to let Judge Nakamura respond, but I think the short answer is that they do have certain legal expertise and some they have technical folks on faculty at UCI that are instrumental in implementing this.
Yes.
Judge?
Senator Pan, thanks for the question. I'm not sure if you're here when I explained in terms of Orange County Superior Court. Yes, we are at the forefront of technology in the court system. We have over 100 personnel with respect to our...
So maybe just to sort of cut to the chase. Then
okay.
the technical expertise would be through the courts in Orange County, or would we be contracting out to because it's AI, right? Yeah.
I haven't finished it, but we have a relationship with Google as well as Microsoft. So those are huge relationships that we have already existing that we could tap into that we've already have a relationship with. So they could provide us with some expertise if we need it. In addition, with respect to UC Irvine Law School, that's all I speak to because I'm on the Board of Visitors. We have Joe Dunn, who is basically an instructor with respect to artificial intelligence. He's also a professor on the staff. His name escapes me, but at UC Irvine Law School, who is an expert in artificial intelligence. He was part of the formulation of the Watson program, if you saw that.
For
IBM. So there is considerable amount of expertise, I think, with respect to our court as well as the law school.
Okay. All right. And then I beg your indulgence, but I don't sit on judiciary. I'm not an attorney. But since we're talking AI, and I have some experience or knowledge about AI in healthcare, and so it sounds sexy. We're going to do AI to help us sort out these things. So first of all, I'm glad, pleased to see you here, Judge, one of my questions was, is the judicial council all on board? Because you create a tool and, are the judges going to use it, right? Are they going to say, I don't understand what's going on in that black box, okay? So I guess there's a couple of questions related to AI. One is the black box aspect, if you're actually using artificial intelligence, because that's a question like, you do the neural networks, whatever else, but exactly what is going on inside, right? And in fact, some studies have shown that when you don't understand what's going on inside, essentially you're embedding, and this is perhaps most relevant to the judicial system, it's already been a problem in the healthcare system, where you actually embed certain biases and so forth because that's the way we've always done things. And you actually bake it into the program, okay? So that doesn't mean this project won't work, but again, something to be very aware about that it needs to be, especially in, I think, in the judicial process, whatever process this program, this AI program is going to be, needs to be very transparent. What's going on? You've got input, output. What's going on in between? You say, there's a neural network, and it's like da-da-da-da, et cetera. No. You have to, before you use it, say, I have to understand exactly how this program is making a decision. If I put this input in, leading to that recommendation. Because, as you mentioned, a judge or someone's going to be, you're expecting them to make decisions based on that recommendation. And if we don't know what's going on in that black box in between, we don't know what recommendation's coming out. And people go, it's the AI program. I should just, probably is doing something right. Yeah. That's not acceptable, right?
To respond to your question, Senator Penn, we actually we've met several times. We had a hearing in Orange County with the Select Committee on Artificial Intelligence, and you've identified one of the key concerns is implicit bias and how we're going to do our best to make sure that we don't have implicit bias. One of the safeguards, though, is that, so just using the example of a protective order, restraining order, is that ultimately a bench officer has to make that decision. So in other words, there's not going to be a black box that makes a decision. I understand that whatever pops out in terms of judge, you need to look at the following criteria.
Are we
missing this criteria? That's an important concern that we are very much aware of. We shouldn't, in my view, though, particularly with respect to pro se litigants, we shouldn't delay things. Because the pro se litigants right now are being impacted by the inefficiencies of the current system. So I think we can overcome any issue concerning implicit bias, both in terms of the mechanism, but also in terms of the safeguards.
Okay. Safeguards. I'm hearing the argument for is, of course, we have this pressure on the judicial system. Of course, justice delayed is often justice denied. How do we move things along? We create a program that's going to help do this. But especially in the pressure of time, the program makes a recommendation. The judge says, okay, that's the recommendation. I'm sure we'll still consider other factors, but in the pressure of time may say, okay, let's just sweep through these, of a program that scanned through. But if the program has something built in and we don't know it, that's the thing is we need to have, it needs to be transparent how it got from point A to point B, and that's one of the challenges in artificial intelligence, because the mechanism, the reason it's artificial intelligence is because, you know, there's some internal process, but it's not always transparent how it gets from this input set of inputs led to those set of outputs. Mm-hmm. And that box, and especially if you have companies that might want to make it proprietary, you got to say, no. It has to be blown open. It has to be open to examination by people to be sure that other entities can look at it and say, well, you know what? Actually, there may be a problem here, and we need to find a way to adjust for that, right? So it can't be proprietary. It has to be open-ended. It has to be transparent. People need to be able to basically dive into it and figure out what exactly is that program doing. And I can give you, and I won't spend time here, giving you examples in healthcare where things have, you know, actually, when they finally broke open the box, made decisions really based on things that were not appropriate. And then I guess finally, I would just make, this is just a, from my experience, comment, again, probably more eventually appropriate to judiciary. I appreciate, you know, using a program to make some of these things happen. I also know, talking to some, you know, not the legal staff, like the law clerks and the judges, but frontline staff, in certain court systems, that they've sometimes been told they can't tell clients or help clients, like, hey, you know what, you forgot to put the date in this form or whatever else. They can only accept the form. So I hope that the Judicial Council is also looking at freeing your frontline staff to actually be able to assist people, not with legal advice, but if people have, you know, missed filling an open space in the form or something, to actually be able to point that out to people and not be punished for that. Because unfortunately, I have heard that from people, from frontline staff, that they've been told that that's, quote, the practice of law, to point out that someone forgot to date their form, and they just have to accept it. And then you get a letter saying, hey, you didn't date your form. We're rejecting it or refile it. And hopefully, so that's aside from AI, but that's, you know, we need to be sure that those types of inefficiencies are eliminated as well.
And that, what we had discussed earlier, that is a common issue, is where mm-hmm. someone fills out an application, and presumably, this is not quite artificial intelligence, this is where you didn't put in a date, and right. the program says, oh, you can't submit this because you didn't put in a date, right. rather than appearing before the bench officer says, oh, goodness gracious, you don't right. have enough detail here about whatever event has now precipitated you coming to court asking for a protective order. Right. You come back tomorrow.
Okay.
That yeah. if we can create an efficiency where the form actually says, you know, you haven't met the burden of proof, you need more information. Judge?
Yes, Senator Fenton, yeah. you identified probably the most crucial concern with respect to artificial intelligence with respect to bias. It's going to show the biases of the person who actually programmed the artificial yes. intelligence situation. With respect to judicial decisions, it's against judicial ethics to basically let a computer make that decision. You have to have the underlying facts in order to make that decision. With respect to many of what judges do, and I'm not sure if you're aware of this, many of it is based on workups done by legal research people, sure, right. yeah. You know, clerical, and sometimes the competence of those staff varies tremendously. They have their own biases, and I think with respect to decisions and what they feel is important in bringing that to the judge, may be more of a concern than using AI with respect to having a group of judges saying, we need to look at all these things in order to have a complete workup to give to the judge, because that person may have had a bad day and had something with respect to a person of certain type of racial background, and when they see that person as the applicant, they might say, well, gosh, I'm not going to really give this the degree of importance that it does. Well, in an AI situation, that type of bias that might come into that type of decision-making is not there. So we are talking about replacing a person who might have their own biases with the computer system that perhaps is superior because it basically looks at more factors. It's not subject to the whim and emotion of a person who the judges obviously sometimes will rely upon. I think with respect to being more comprehensive and looking at all the factors, if we have the proper program and we are aware and become very aware of the fact that there could be biases placed. And I think that might be a superior situation in order to make a decision.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the presentation. I think my concern was understanding that certainly, you know, having a person could have their own biases. But that's my emphasis was on transparency, especially using AI. So being able to know how it got from input to output, right, is the thing that I'm calling for. Not saying that we can't use AI, but yes. I'm just saying that too often AI is a black box in between, and or for various reasons, sometimes saying it's proprietary, something else. If we're going to use it in the judicial system, it needs to be transparent. Yes. We need to be able to trace how these inputs led to that output so we can understand and then make the adjustment to the program to try to remove the bias if there we identify one. Yes. Thank you.
I think transparency is important. And I think by having an AI program, you can be more transparent because I think judges would be very hesitant to disclose who they relied upon with respect to a law clerk's or a legal research opinion less than they were able, than the court would be able to provide this is our AI program, this is what we do in order to make a decision.
Very good. Any other questions or comments from the committee? All right. Yes, please.
In terms of how, what this means, so it's requesting that the UC system pass a resolution to move forward on this, but then what we're committing to is $2 million to go from the general fund.
That's going to get the money part. We can't, as I mentioned, we can't direct the sovereign state of the University of California to spend this money in this particular area. This is expression of one of our intent, and two, we both intent in terms of the structure and intent in terms of where we hope they spend the money, and we're working with them to make that happen.
Okay. Yeah.
Very good. Senator Umberg, would you like to close?
I think everything that's been said has been said, and we're done. Thank you very much. I'd urge an aye vote.
Thank you very much. Right. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Do we have a motion? The bill has been moved by Senator Durazo. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Wilk? Chang? Durazo? Durazo, aye. Glazer, McGuire, Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye.
All right, you have three votes. We'll leave the roll open.
Did you say two? Oh, wait, I'm so sorry.
One moment.
I have to redo that. I apologize.
We have to say that it's going to pass to judiciary, so we're going to redo that vote.
Item 1, SB 444, the motion is do pass to judiciary. Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Wilk, Chang, Durazo?
Aye.
Durazo, aye. Glazer, McGuire, Pan? Pan, aye.
Sorry. All right, we have three votes still, and we'll do this. Yeah. Yes. Start a new trend. Thank you, Senator Umberg. Thank you, Judge. And we'll leave the roll open for the other votes. Senator Glazer, thank you for coming so promptly. Madam Secretary, will you please call the roll?
Item 1, SB 444, the motion is due pass to judiciary with the chair voting aye. Vice chair hasn't voted. Wilk, Chang, Glazer,
aye.
Glazer aye, McGuire.
Thank you, Senator Glazer. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Item 1, SB 444. The motion is do pass to judiciary with Leyva voting aye, chair voting aye, vice chair not voting. Wilk, Chang, McGuire.
That bill is out 4-0. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.